Now, traffic and weather together every 10 minutes. 8:01 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. A bill that further limits when someone can have an abortion is moving forward in the Florida House. The measure bans abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy, with exceptions for rape and incest. Fort Myers Republican Jenna Persons-Malika is a sponsor and says the measure is about protecting human life.
We know that by 6 weeks, a heartbeat is detectable. And what greater evidence of life is there than a heartbeat?
Parkland Democrat Christine Hunchowski said, "We talk about being a free state, and this is literally the antithesis of that." Nevertheless, the House Health Care Regulation Subcommittee voted in favor of the bill. This news is brought to you by Universal Roof and Contracting. Visit UniversalRoof.com. It was 3 years ago this week that the COVID pandemic grabbed the nation's attention and millions of people across the country went into lockdown. Now, Governor Ron DeSantis is once again taking issue with the federal response, saying they were wrong about almost everything.
School closures, that was supposed to be something that would stop spread or limit it. But in reality, it had very minimal impact on that, but it had a huge negative impact on the well-being of our youth.
In Winter Haven, the governor said Florida has been attacked relentlessly over its policies and that the response to his decisions was a torrent of abuse. He says Florida is still recovering from those federal actions 3 years later. The White House says Congress needs to act to strengthen banking regulations after the collapse of two banks.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says legislation has been introduced to repeal part of a Trump-era bank regulation rollback. The bill would put banks with at least $50 billion in assets back under strict Federal Reserve oversight. She said tougher rules are necessary to prevent another failure. She added the administration is working to get a full accounting of what happened with Silicon Valley Bank to hold those responsible accountable. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Senator Marco Rubio says the U.S. should fly more drones over the Black Sea. After Russian jets forced one out of the sky this week, the Florida Republican said more drones should be deployed in the region, potentially alongside U.S. fighter jets that can respond to threats. And some big upsets highlighted the start of the first round of the NCAA men's basketball tournament.
In the South region, number 2 seed Arizona lost to Princeton, and the number 4 seed Virginia had the ball and a 2-point lead in the closing seconds of its game before number 13 seed Furman had a magical March moment.
Clark in a straight jacket. He didn't need to do that. He threw it away. Ping, Pickies. Wow!
That call courtesy of True TV and the NCAA. Elsewhere in the South region, moving on with wins were Alabama, San Diego State, Missouri, and Maryland. Advancing out of the West region, Kansas and Arkansas. Also moving on to round two, Duke in the East region and Texas in the Midwest. I'm Eric Messersmith, Fox News.
WFLA News Time is 8:05. Find more stories online at WFLAOrlando.com. And that's where you can win tickets to see Brooks and Dunn Reboot 2023 Tour at the Amway Center. The third hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. 8:05 on our Friday morning get-together. It's St. Patrick's Day! As if you were unaware of that, just before we went to the top of the hour news, this is why we got a problem, by the way. We were talking about a Florida man, Sidney Holmes, who was sentenced to 400 years in jail back in 1989. He was wrongfully convicted and is now a free man, because a mistake was made. We got two text messages about this. Text number one: I think he was the driver. No, he wasn't. That's the point. He was not the driver. Detectives arrested this man in 1988, accusing him of working with two armed robbers. outside of the convenience store, and he was indeed convicted. At the time, he was driving an Oldsmobile Cutlass, which the victim's brother suspected had been present during the robbery. Holmes said he was innocent. He was. It's the prosecutors that have said, oops, our bad. He was wrongfully convicted. Now, the second text message we received this morning on this simply says, not a mistake. Yes, it was. So you see, if we'd have killed this man, we probably wouldn't be talking about him today. Because the likes of the Innocence Project, which was involved in the clearing of Sidney Holmes, and the prosecutor's office, they're not going to really spend too much time looking into the case of somebody we the people put to death. It's a much harder hill to climb. And so this is why I've said it before. People get mad at me that I'm really against the death penalty. I have no moral obligation to objection. I said obligation. No moral objection to the death penalty. I don't. I'm okay with it. But we need to be really, really, really sure. And as I say, we don't have that standard in our criminal justice system. 407-916-5400. You can text us at 23680. You can send us a talk back on this. We'll talk some more about it. Coming up next, we're also going to talk about the fact that food is going to get more expensive again. That's coming right up on Good Morning Orlando. Top stories we're following for you this morning include dozens of people are facing charges in what the Orange County Sheriff calls one of the largest cocaine trafficking cases in about 30 years. Sheriff John Mina yesterday announced the results of Operation Out of Hand. The two-year-old operation led to 35 arrests and the seizure of over 300 kilos of cocaine. Updates at least every 10 minutes on these stories throughout the morning, right here on Good Morning Orlando.
Money, real estate, investments. Learn from the pros, evenings and weekends. News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. 8:13 on our Friday morning get-together. It's St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And I'm not sure if the price of corned beef and cabbage has gone up, but pretty much everything else has gone up. And we're being told food prices are still going to go up further this year. I don't know about you, but I'm over it. Joining us to talk about it is Stephen Patterson. He's the Director of Client Relations for Key City Capital, and he is a financial strategist. Good morning, Stephen. Thank you for joining us. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, thank you so much, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you as well.
So, Stephen, this I'm well over it. At this point, when are we going to see these prices leveling off? I mean, I don't think anybody really cares as to reasons they're still going up. When is it going to be over?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I don't think anybody can answer the timing of that. If you look at inflation as a whole, it's still extremely high year over year, about 6%, and what we're seeing is companies like Nestle that are still adjusting prices for losses incurred Q3 and Q4 of 2022. So I think you're going to see continued price increases at least for the next two quarters.
Okay, well, that's depressing. Here is the real thing. If we're seeing these things go up and up and up, wages are not keeping pace with this inflation. People are having to make real life decisions about what they can afford. You know, maybe one month it's I can't really afford the medicine I need.
No, that's the challenge that comes with inflation. That's why you see the Fed continuing to raise interest rates. Next Wednesday will be a date to keep an eye on to see what kind of interest rate hike we get again. Without taming this inflation, you can make more money, but if it's not keeping up with inflation, then you're actually losing ground.
Right, and there's some talk that they may not move the interest rates next week because of the crisis in the banking industry already.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think that everybody assumed before Silicon Valley Bank and some of the other issues that it was going to be a half a point increase. Now there's talk that there may be no increase at all or maybe just a quarter point. So I think next Wednesday will be a very telling signal about how the Fed views the economy as a whole.
Right, because what people need to understand is they're raising interest rates to effectively create a different kind of crisis, which will ease the pressure on money. If I'm being as simplistic as I possibly can, because, man, it's way too early for this, to be honest with you. Essentially, they're trying to get companies to fire people. I'm being simplistic, but that's the reality. They want that unemployment number to go up because they want less money in our pockets, which will calm inflationary pressure down. That's the simplistic math. Am I correct?
No, you're not far off the mark. I mean, the old adage is raise the rates until something breaks. So whether that's employment or whether it's the banking system or whether it's stock market sell-offs, they're going to raise the rates until something changes. And right now, given economic data, there's not been significant change. So we're going to see if this latest stress on the banking system is enough to pause this or if it'll continue to increase until something else changes.
Well, Stephen Patterson, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Stephen is a financial strategist and the director of client relations for Key City Capital. If people want to find out more about you, where do they go, Stephen?
KeyCityCapital.com.
There you go. Simple enough. Thank you very much. You have a great St. Patrick's Day, and I appreciate your expertise, sir.
You as well, sir.
Take care. There you go. 8:18 on this Friday morning. Following us, by the way, is Glenn Beck, right, Guy? That's who's next.
That's right. 9 to noon.
Can't be bad. We'll take a quick time out. Continue the conversation straight ahead. This is Good Morning Orlando. Top stories we're following for you this morning. At least two dozen Mar-a-Lago staff members have been subpoenaed to testify in the investigation of former President Trump's handling of classified documents. CNN reports they range from servers to members of Trump's inner circle at the Florida property. Updates at least every 10 minutes on these stories throughout the morning, right here on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1. Still on FM 93.1. News Radio WFLA Orlando. And still on AM 540.
On the 4th of July, 1806, we set sail from the sweet cove of Cork. We were sailing away with a cargo.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. I hate talking over the Pogues, but there you go. I'm being forced against my will to disrespect the Pogues. We've been talking for a while now about the Florida man who was wrongfully convicted and sentenced to serve 400 years in prison. He served 34 of them, before prosecutors went, oops, sorry.
My bad.
He was wrongfully convicted. And this led to me talking to you about why I am absolutely positively against the death penalty. It's because we cannot ever make a mistake. I'm sure, absolutely 1,000% sure, we have executed innocent people in our country. Absolutely sure. And so that's why I'm against it. And this man who served 34 years, completely innocent, is just, can you imagine that? You're locked up night after night after night, and you know you didn't do anything to be there. You did nothing. Awful.
And meanwhile, all the other inmates are like, what are you in here for? I'm innocent. Yeah, so is everybody else.
Right, absolutely. What are they? Then they'll like, what did they say you did? And this is also interesting because they said he drove a getaway car of a robbery. 400 years?
For that?
Right? So anyway, there's all kinds of things wrong with this particular case. On the text line, would you have sentenced the Parkland shooter to death? I keep telling you, I have no moral obligation to the death penalty. But what you're trying to do with that question is say we should have a standard of really, really guilty. But we don't. We have a standard of beyond a reasonable doubt. Someone else said, this wasn't a death penalty case. No, it wasn't. That doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, does it? Another message on the text line. Cops, prosecutors, jury, and judge should lose a limb. Wow. They stole a man's freedom because of mental laziness. Okay. Let's first of all exonerate the jury completely. Please. They're sat there and they're hearing the evidence. I don't know what was presented in court. I wasn't there. It was 1989. So I wasn't there. So I don't know what they presented in court. I don't know how convincing they all were. But let's exonerate the jury. They can only rule on what they hear in court. The same pretty much is true of the judge. Cops and prosecutors? Different story. I'm not sure they should lose a limb. Now that he has been found innocent and let out of prison, he should be compensated. Yep. Not that any monetary compensation makes up for time spent in prison as an innocent man. Absolutely. I think these days we have better forensics and cameras everywhere. The evidence is better than just witness accounts and bad evidence. Okay. Okay. Ask the original prosecutors, not the new generation. And somebody else says, just because he was wrongfully convicted doesn't mean he is innocent. Wow. Wow. It's the prosecutors that said he's innocent. Okay? Just so you know. Anyway, we're going to move on from this particular story, but that is the reason, and you'll be hard-pressed to convince me otherwise, unless you want to create a different standard, right? You want to create a different standard? Well, we all saw that the so-and-so shooter was inside the premises with a gun in his hand firing at people, so therefore... And we've got the gun and the ballistics match up. Therefore, he's really, really guilty. Okay. Okay. That isn't the standard we operate under in this country. So you have to change the law first. It is 8:28 right now. And it is Good Morning Orlando. Time for Alan Spector. Alan?
A huge drug bust here in Central Florida, and in case you haven't noticed, it's St. Patrick's Day. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together and elsewhere in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Good Good morning, Orlando. Top of the morning to you on this St. Patrick's Day. It's 8:32. A huge drug bust in Central Florida. And in case you haven't noticed, yeah, I just said it. It's St. Patrick's Day. Here's Alan Spector in the WFLA News Center. Alan?
Simon, a total of 35 defendants are accused of trafficking more than 300 kilos of cocaine and fentanyl into Central Florida. Metropolitan Bureau of Investigation Director Ron Stucker announcing one of the area's biggest drug busts ever.
The defendants in this case used the U.S. Postal Service and private parcel carriers to ship their cocaine to Central Florida. Once it's in Central Florida, they would distribute it throughout our region, throughout the state of Florida, and up the eastern seaboard of the United States.
As far north as Maine, said Stucker. Orange County Sheriff John Mina said there's no doubt that the arrest of these individuals has saved lives and will continue to save lives in our community. This news is brought to you by Universal Roof and Contracting. Visit universalroof.com. Former President Donald Trump is increasing his lead over Ron DeSantis in the 2024 Republican presidential race. Quinnipiac University pollster Tim Malloy says Trump's lead is 4 points higher than the same survey just last month.
It is good news for Trump. It's really just a two-person field at the moment when you really look at the numbers. But yeah, 46% to 32% over DeSantis among Republicans. But it does tell you the enduring nature of Trump's base. They've not gone away.
But DeSantis might be a stronger general election candidate. In hypothetical matchups, President Biden beats Trump by 5 points, but leads DeSantis by just 1 point. The average price of gas here in Florida is up another penny today. AAA has it at $3.46 a gallon. Don't forget to wear your green. It is St. Patrick's Day, as Fox's Tanya J. Powers reports.
St. Patrick's Day is being celebrated today in lots of ways, including the big traditional parade in New York City. Organizers say 2 million spectators are expected to line Fifth Avenue and watch the marchers, bands, and bagpipes. Some cities celebrated St. Patrick's a little early with parades last weekend, like Boston, where it's traditionally held on the Sunday closest to March 17th, and Chicago, where it always occurs on a Saturday. And the Irish Taoiseach is in Washington, D.C. for a bilateral meeting with President Biden. Having Ireland's prime minister at the White House resumes a longstanding tradition. In New York, Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
WFLA News Time is 8:34. Elsewhere. Def Leppard is turning classic rock into classical rock on its upcoming album. The band is collaborating with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra on Drastic Symphonies. The 15 tracks feature symphonic arrangements of Def Leppard classics such as Pour Some Sugar on Me, Bringing On the Heartache, and Animal. Def Leppard Drastic Symphonies with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra is due out May 19th. By the way, Def Leppard drummer Rick Allen is recovering after being attacked this week in front of the Four Seasons Hotel in Fort Lauderdale. He suffered a head injury and a 19-year-old suspect was arrested.
Right. He was going, pour some sugar on me. Yes.
Rough. Elsewhere.
It was very rough.
Yeah.
Maybe he was singing Animal at the time. I don't know.
No, he just was. He was out waiting for a valet parking. You know how dangerous that can be.
Smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. You know how dangerous that can be in Fort Lauderdale.
Clearly.
At least we found out now. Elsewhere, the director, the director of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies is taking on the Man of Steel. James Gunn says he will direct the upcoming film Superman Legacy. Gunn also wrote the movie that'll tell the story of Superman's journey to reconcile his Kryptonian heritage with his human upbringing by his farmer parents, Ma and Pa Kent. But Simon, don't line up for tickets just yet. Superman Legacy doesn't hit theaters until July 11th, 2025.
So they're basically retelling the original story again?
Again.
Is that what I'm hearing?
How many times can they tell it?
No new ideas.
No, absolutely right. There are no new ideas, but yeah. So, interesting.
And finally,
it is interesting.
And finally, yes. And finally,
you're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
And finally, a free diver named David Venzel is in a class by himself after setting an icy cold world record. And this past Tuesday, the 40-year-old Czech diver took one breath, dove through a hole drilled in the ice on Switzerland's Lake Sils, and grabbed a sticker placed more than 170 feet below the surface of the frozen lake. 1 minute and 54 seconds later, Venzel came up through the hole, spat out some blood, and opened a bottle of champagne to celebrate. By the way, the water temperature was between just over freezing and just under 40 degrees.
It is pretty cold, man.
Yeah.
That is pretty cold. Yeah, I couldn't do that.
Well, just saying. You want to set a world record, sometimes you got to do stuff. Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com. Listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector, we've got news, weather, and traffic just ahead as Good Morning Orlando continues in 2 minutes.
Top stories we're following for you this morning include President Biden will be celebrating St. Patrick's Day with Ireland's Prime Minister. Biden has family roots in Ireland, and he will join Prime Minister Leo Varadkar for a series of holiday events today celebrating the strong bond between the two nations. Updates at least every 10 minutes on these stories throughout the morning right here on Good Morning Orlando.
News, weather, and traffic
for the smartest audience in talk radio.
News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Be safe out there as you celebrate this. Are you wearing green this morning, Guy, by the way?
I certainly am.
Oh, yeah?
He's a good boy.
Is it visible, or is it, you know, like your boxers?
Well, I'd say it's completely visible, but then again, I am colorblind, so I want to make sure I put on the right color shirt.
Yeah, well, for all you know, Simon, him saying it's visible, maybe he's not wearing pants, and we can see the boxers.
Yes, that's also true.
But
I too am colorblind, Guy, by the way. Just saying.
But I will confirm he is wearing a green T-shirt.
Are you wearing green, Alan?
I am not.
I am not either. So I'm wearing red, because I always wear red on a Friday. Red Friday, remember everyone deployed. So I always wear red on a Friday. So there you go. That's me.
I actually never wear anything green. There's no green in my wardrobe whatsoever.
I'm trying to think. I don't know that I can. I don't know that I have the same confidence as to what's in my wardrobe, because, you know, every now and again I'll go through the T-shirt drawer and I'm like, man, I haven't seen that for a very long time.
Yep. And then you put it right back in the drawer.
Yes. And the bottom, because clearly I don't wear it.
Might need it later, though. You never know.
You never know. And then every now and again, you know, like an extended period of time, I'll go, okay, guess we're going to Goodwill. I'll put together a big old bag and drop it off at Goodwill. Thin out the collection of T-shirts is what I do. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is St. Patrick's Day. It's 8:44 on our Friday morning get-together. You got big plans, Alan. You've got a gig as well, right? You're singing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing my Lionel Richie tribute tonight at Fiddler's Green in Winter Park.
All night long?
All night long, yes. Excellent.
Hello.
You've been with us for 3 hours. Great. You now know what we're talking about. No, but all joking aside, you're not singing, but you do have a gig.
I do not have a gig.
You do not have a gig?
No.
You said you had a gig in Winter Park.
I said I was going to be in Winter Park.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say I was working. But if you can get me a gig, I won't turn it down.
It depends. It depends. Can you sing all night long?
Can I sing the song, or can I sing actually all night long?
No, just the song. Nobody needs you to sing all night long.
I can't do either one of those, actually.
Neither. Okay.
No, neither either.
Neither either.
All night long.
No,
happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
There you go. See, someone's if you wait till really late, you might be fine.
Yeah, nobody would care.
Right?
Oh, he's the best singer I've ever heard.
I love that guy.
Encore.
Fantastic.
Encore.
And the designated drivers in the bar are going, no!
They're sitting,
no, don't do that.
They'll be sitting in the cars by then. Starting them
running
up.
For the cars. Yes. Running for the cars they will be. So there you go.
All night long.
Okay.
Tell you what, we'll wait outside.
Guy does have a gig tonight, though, ladies and gentlemen. We did mention it before, but I feel we should all go out and support him.
Yep, I'm going to be singing and playing the acoustic guitar at a place called the Historic Barroom in Longwood from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m.
How historic is it?
Well, it's in historic Longwood, so it's it's pretty historic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like to know these things. I like the deets, man. All the deets. Very important. Very important we get the deets. We're coming up on a final timeout for the morning. I do want to get to one more serious story, which is the Florida House panel's 6-week abortion ban bill. Very interesting to see if that becomes law. Before I do that, though, let's talk about some of the network features, Guy, that we have here.
Yeah, right. We have one that's called Strappin' for Let's Start a Coup podcast. It's a deep dive into 1930s plot to overthrow FDR led by a secret group of high-ranking officials. You can tune in each week for a darkly comedic and terrifying retelling of one of the weirdest forgotten schemes in American history. You can listen to Let's Start a Coup on the free iHeartRadio app.
That's fascinating. I'm actually looking forward to that. All right, it is 8:48 just about. We'll take that quick final timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up. We'll talk about this abortion bill as well, and then we'll really get into the weekend. Simon Conway in the chair for Bud, and this is News Radio WFLA Orlando. Top stories we're following for you this morning include Ford is recalling more than 1 million cars over a brake hose issue. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says Ford Fusions and Lincoln MKZs sold between 2013 and 2018 are affected. It has to do with front brake hoses that may rupture and leak brake fluid. Updates at least every 10 minutes on these stories throughout the morning right here on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA, this is Good Morning Orlando. Call us at 407-916-5400 or text us at 23680.
Hey, did you know the best news, weather, water cooler stories, and cool contests with our daily podcast? They are all at your fingertips. All you have to do is go to WFLAOrlando.com.
Well, that's not bad, is it? I mean, you can get all that all in one place, and it's good stuff. So make sure you check that out, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, let's look at the 6-week abortion ban that passed the Florida House yesterday. So a lot of people were tearful, said that the measure would kill women and re-traumatize rape victims if it became law. Well, the House panel passed it 13-5 along party lines. The bill was advanced. They shot down Democratic amendments which would have lessened requirement for rape victims and patients to get abortions for medical reasons. Now, look, let's talk about the bill's sponsor, Representative Jenna Persons Malika. Quote, "It's a bill that recognizes the importance and the value of the life of innocent unborn human beings," unquote. That's it. That's it. We heard earlier in one of Alan's news hits today that someone was saying, a Democrat was saying, look, this is like, you know, you're forcing people to make a moral decision as opposed to a healthcare decision. Yeah. It's a baby. So, yeah. I'm not in favor of killing babies. I'm just not. And, you know, look, this is widely known as the heartbeat bill, okay? So as soon as we detect a heartbeat, we're saying, you can't kill the baby because now it's got a heartbeat. We determine the lack of life, otherwise known as death, with the absence of a heartbeat. That's how we do it. So isn't it reasonable that we would determine life when we can detect a heartbeat? Isn't that reasonable?
Sounds reasonable to me.
See, here's what happens at the moment of conception. Remember, follow the science. Remember that? You heard a lot of that during the whole COVID thing. Anyway, here's what happens at the moment of conception. At the moment of conception, a completely new DNA is created inside the mom. Right? It's a unique human DNA created at the moment of conception. Now then, mom's body would set out to destroy the alien DNA that suddenly appeared in her body. That's how our bodies work. There's alien DNA. We summon the troops and we go out and seek it out and destroy it. That's what our bodies do when there's foreign DNA inside of it. Well, here's what happens. The brand new baby sends a chemical message to mom's brain, which essentially says, don't kill me, I'm a baby. Without that chemical message, all babies would be destroyed by the mother's body. So literally, its first action is to plead for life. That's its first action. The very first thing it does. So, yeah. I wish I remember the name of that Democrat. I don't remember the name of that Democrat that's saying, well, it's like you're forcing us to make a moral decision instead of a healthcare decision. Yes! It should be a moral decision not to kill a baby. That should be an easy moral decision, shouldn't it? You would think. So anyway, I'm pretty sure Governor DeSantis will sign that bill if it reaches his desk. And that will stop a whole bunch of abortion tourism coming to the great state of Florida. And we should all be celebrating that as well, frankly. We should. That will do it for today, however. Ladies and gentlemen, happy St. Patrick's Day. Thank you, of course, to our guests this morning. Thank you to the best crew in morning radio, Alan and Guy, today. Thank you, guys. But mainly my thanks to you guys. It's never the same without you. We'll be back on Monday at 6 o'clock in the morning to do it all over again. Have a great day, a wonderful weekend. We'll see you then. Good morning. Here we go.
Orlando.
You've been listening to Good Morning Orlando with your host, Bud Henninger, co-host and newsman, Alan Spector, executive producer, Guy Roberts, and holding the whole thing together, associate producer, Lizzie Steele. News Radio WFLA Orlando.